Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse with Dr. Don McDonald. This show is for vitalistic chiropractors that want to take their practice to a new level. Whether that is higher volume, less stress, more congruency, or just want to continually learn and evolve. Every Wednesday, I will be bringing you an interview that will provide you with either mindset or strategies that will help you overcome your underdog curse. Whether you're plateaued, afraid to fail, or stressed out due to overwhelm, this podcast will show you how others have overcome their challenges. Make sure to go to www.drdonmcdonald.com where you can sign up to get notifications when new shows are released and see previous ones you may have missed. I hope you enjoy the show and don't forget to crush the curse. Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand, it can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Breaking the Underdog Curse. My next guest today is a pretty special guest. He actually was my coach for like 3 years, and he helped me through the whole transition of writing my book, and he helped me hit a lot of breakthroughs. He's been coaching and helping people for 25 years. He's worked with people in 20 different countries, and he says he's done 10,000 hours of coaching, so he must know what he's doing. Everybody, welcome Trevor McGregor.
Hey, Don. Thanks for having me on.
This is awesome. I'm pretty excited to be able to reverse the roles and now me ask you questions instead of you doing the same for me. So this is pretty exciting.
So I love it.
For the people out there, can you just give a quick synopsis about kind of where you came from and where you're at right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, Trevor McGregor. I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And I'm in my mid-40s, grew up in Canada on the prairies, not far from where you grew up. And yeah. You know, went to university, studied business, entered into a corporate lifestyle, you know, started working in corporate, making money, and I had a young family, and I was really excited about life, and ultimately, you know, also loved personal development, because I was always curious as to why people think and behave a certain way. So between my corporate life, you know, my schooling, my family, and personal growth, you know, and throwing a little bit of sports, because you can't be Canadian and not love hockey and other sports.
You bet.
Yeah, that's a little bit about my background.
That's awesome. And so what's led up to now? Because I know you started coaching, you started work with Tony Robbins. So can you maybe talk a little bit about your experience with Tony Robbins? Because you've kind of moved up the ranks. Like you've had a huge growth in that area.
Yeah, again, I think that combination of a business background and that passion for personal growth, you know, really led me to coaching. So there I was working in corporate, putting in, you know, 6 days a week. I had about 500 people reporting to me directly or indirectly. And I was fascinated about how I could get, you know, some of them to be successful. But I was, you know, intrigued why some of them would never, you know, cross that threshold. And so it was really by studying people like Tony Robbins, you know, and really Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn and Carnegie's and all of those. And I took an amazing, you know, deep dive into all of that. And I was playing at it was at such a deep level that, you know, I was working with my own Tony Robbins coach at the time. And he said, hey, Trevor, Tony's looking for more coaches. In fact, he's looking for coaches with a business background. Have you ever thought of doing this part time? And I thought, you know, I'd love to do it. But you know what? I was locked into that corporate slavery. And ultimately, you know, I said, no, not right now. And for some reason, Don, he kept bugging me over and over and over again. Saying, we really want you to join us, you know, part time. And so it was then that I, you know, really thought about it. And I said, yes. And that's where my coaching journey started.
That's awesome. And then so how long have you been coaching with, like when you started, how long has that time frame been?
Yeah, from when I initially, you know, got that from Tony, and I ended up going and doing my coach training in Florida with an awesome company called Coach for Life out of Florida. I then, you know, started to, you know, learn all of the tried and true Tony Robbins tools and methodologies, listen to all the audios, go to all the events. And then I applied to do the absolute, you know, in-person training. And that was grueling. I mean, they don't just let anybody in. Mm-hmm. You literally get tested. And I've got some, you know, chemicals being released from my brain into my bloodstream, taking me back to that moment right now. And it was pretty intense. So I did that training back in 2012, and it's 2017 now. So it's just been over 5 amazing years of coaching. I've been very, very blessed, and I've done well over 10,000 hours, you know, as a peak performance coach at this stage.
That's awesome. So you're a successful coach. You own a bunch of real estate. You're doing everything. You're rocking it out. My question always is, have you always been this awesome?
You know the answer, because we've worked together for many years. And, you know, I haven't been. In fact, you know, I'm, you know, born middle child of a kind of a middle class family in Canada. And, you know, I remember when my parents moved into their first home, they used cardboard boxes for end tables to put the lamps. So we didn't have a lot, but, you know, we did have love. And if there's one thing I'm really proud of mom and dad for, is really instilling good beliefs and good values that anything's possible. But then again, as you go on that journey into, you know, university and then into life itself, I remember a time where I was working with the company in corporate, and they wanted me to maybe come in and invest some money with the organization because they were in a huge expansion mode. And so I literally scraped together a whole bunch of money. In fact, well into 6 figures. I even convinced my parents to take out a 6-figure mortgage on their home in Sherwood Park, and they believed in me. Yeah. And they said, wow. Yes, here you go. And we started this expansion, and then 9/11 hit and people got scared and our whole expansion plan stopped. And I ended up losing a significant portion of that money, Don. It was terrible.
Ooh. And so part of that was your parents' money.
Part of it was my parents. So there I was, You know, completely lost a ton of my money. And then I lost a ton of my mom and dad's money. And my biggest fear was, how am I going to tell mom and dad that I've lost, you know, 100,000 of their dollars. And it was terrible at the time.
That's so, and that could be a pivotal moment in someone's life, right? So, you know, I've seen that happen. Well, personally, I've lost a bunch of money like that before too. You know, you can go into one of two modes, right? You can go into protective mode and say, that's it, I'm never doing anything ever again. Yep. Or you can do a different mode, or maybe you want to just do more due diligence or try it a little bit different. Like, how did you approach that whole trauma?
Well, it was tough because not only was I broke, but then I started to put on a bunch of weight from the stress. So there I was, broke and getting fat. And if that wasn't worse enough, it caused a huge strain on my marriage at the time. And it was, you know, headed for divorce. So there I was, broke, fat, and divorced, or headed for a divorce. And I'm telling you, it was one of the low points in my life, Don. In fact, you know, I tell this story a lot as I stand on stage and do some keynotes around it, that if I wouldn't have found my mentor at that time, a wonderful, wonderful man who literally came into my life out of nowhere, I don't even know if I'd be speaking to you today, because it was really, really tough. And that coach, that mentor, that teacher gave me literally 2 quotes that changed my life. And the first quote he gave me was, there is no failure, there's only feedback. Mm-hmm. There is no failure, there's only feedback. An old Napoleon Hill quote from Think and Grow Rich. And I thought about that a lot. And I thought, you know what? I'm still young. Yes, I've lost all this money. Yes, I got some serious feedback as to what wasn't working.
Yeah.
But I was relatively young and I knew that I could rebuild. So that was the first quote he gave. The second quote was, if you want to be successful, do things that other successful people have already done and done before you. Mm-hmm. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I thought, geez, I don't have to reinvent the wheel here. I can literally start, you know, putting the pieces of the puzzle together and going from where I was to where I truly wanted to go. And for me, that was buying real estate. I literally cashed in, you know, my RRSP. In the US, they call it a 401k. And I used what little money I could scrape together to buy one little townhouse. And that was a good experience here in Vancouver. So I took the equity out of that and I went on and bought one condo. So now I had 2 properties and I took the equity out of both of those and started to buy duplexes. And that's when it got really cool, because I understood what cash flow was. And I bought another duplex, and then I pulled the equity out of that and bought a 4-plex. And in a relatively short amount of time, about 2.5 years, not only was I able to pay off my failed loans, but I was able to pay my parents back in full.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's so cool. Cause sometimes that never, I just have a patient that I saw the other day that they'd lent their kids, $35,000 and she actually got a letter from a lawyer from them, not even from her daughter, but a lawyer, a bankruptcy lawyer saying that we'll pay you about $3,000 on that $35,000. So it was nice that you didn't have to like totally undercut your parents and actually pay them back. So how did you learn about real estate? Did you have past experience about it or how did you go about finding a mentor or learning? What did you do for that? Because kind of we talk about, you know, being an underdog, like that's a true underdog, right? You're kind of emotionally broke, you're physically broke, everything. As Jim Rohn says, the only thing you weren't bad looking, right? So the only thing worse than being broke and Thank stressed you. And fat is to be ugly, right? So we're lucky we didn't have that. So
that's right. And you don't have that problem either, my dad. That's awesome. So yeah, it really was an act of the universe. I mean, I didn't know anything about real estate. I had, you know, never even really thought about it. But this coach, this mentor, this teacher, this trainer that the universe dropped in front of me one day said, you know, Trevor, what are the different ways you can, you know, make some money? And what are you seeing other people doing? And I thought, well, there's stocks, there's bonds, there's opening a business, mm-hmm. there's real estate. And you know, I remember Tony Robbins saying at the time that if you only have one choice, you have no choice. There's nothing to choose. And so I literally put all of these things on the table. And at the end of the day, he said, well, what do you feel you could do that you're interested in that would allow you to make a lot of this money back fast? And I said, you know what? My gut is telling me that it's real estate. And it was really from there that I started to read all the books. I started to listen to all the audio programs. I started going to all the real estate seminars. And in a relatively short amount of time, I discovered that there's a new way of thinking and behaving when it comes to real estate investing that would allow me to scale. And Don, that's exactly what happened. It was truly a miracle.
That's so awesome. Now we always talk about the first phase is breaking through that first barrier, right? Because, you know, you got to go from nothing to something. Have you ever had like those self-sabotaging beliefs that like now that you've hit success that you weren't comfortable with it and then you felt yourself sabotaging yourself?
All the time. Yeah. There was a time where I started to really, you know, be afraid that what if I lose it? What if they tax me? What if the tenants kick the crap out of the property? And so all of these saboteurs, these doubts, these fears, these anxieties had me up awake at night, eyes wide open, staring at the ceiling going, what if? But again, right. I believe that where focus goes, energy flows. And I really had to be, you know, one of those guys that stood guard at the door of my mind to really think about what I wanted, not what I didn't want.
And how did you do that? Like that's, it's easy to say to somebody, hey, don't focus on the negative stuff. But like, what could someone use as a tip to actually do that?
Well, that's a great question. And I think you and I have worked together long enough that you know the answer. But for the people listening or watching this, mm-hmm. it's really all about, you know, your identity. It really is, you know, Tony's got a great quote. He says that the strongest force in the human personality is the need to be consistent with how you define yourself. Yeah. So that is, if we feel like we're in a certain modality or identity or paradigm, we're going to act in that. Versus I started to see and feel myself as if, you know, and when I say as if, it's almost like, what would life feel like if you had control? Mm-hmm. What would life feel like if you were abundant? What would life feel like if you were courageous or disciplined, or that you went back and reread books like Think and Grow Rich a second, a third, a fourth time? Because I always, you know, believe that there were different distinctions that came at different times. So I think for anybody that might be, you know, listening to this awesome, awesome podcast, it's really lock in like a laser on who you want to be and then start doing the things where you can literally climb the steps to being that, you know? And I don't think you need to see the whole staircase. You just need to see the next 2, 3, 4 steps.
Yeah, totally. I think sometimes, and I know I've had that in the past where I want to try to figure out how everything's going to go to the very end. I think we both also done some Joe Dispenza work, right? And
yep, we have.
And that's like how you shut off the tap of abundance is try to figure everything out because then you're in the physical realm. And so we got to try to, you know, get that first step ahead, not know exactly how to figure everything out. So if someone's uncomfortable, you know, if they've always in the past tried to figure everything out and they're uncomfortable with that, do you have any tips on how they can kind of chill out a bit or any advice for that?
Absolutely. The first thing when you're uncomfortable is celebrate. You know, it's the universe's way of challenging you and telling you that, hey, where you're at today isn't where you're meant to be. There's another level. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I'll talk about the ladder of success, and it literally is like a ladder. So picture a ladder with six rungs on it. Mm-hmm. And the very bottom rung is the word poor. That's how you can show up in life for yourself, your family, your employer. But beyond that, the second level is the word good. So there's a gap between poor and good, but there's another level because you can go up to great. So now you've got poor,
yeah,
good, and great. And believe it or not, there's three more levels after that, because level four is what we call excellent.
Yeah.
Level five is outstanding. And level six, the highest level, is extraordinary. So when you start to really, you know, take stock of where are you showing up with your body, you know, mm-hmm. is it poor, good, great, excellent, outstanding, or extraordinary? Where are you showing up at work? Where are you showing up with your significant other? Where are you showing up with your kids? Where are you showing up in playing full out in sports? There's an understanding and awareness that there's always another level. And that's why, you know, as we look at Olympic athletes, and I coach a lot of peak performance sports people and athletes, is they're at that upper echelon of the ladder where, you know, winning gold and being, you know, going from outstanding to extraordinary could be, you know, a 2 millimeter shift, you know, in their psychology or in their strategy. You know, take a guy like Michael Phelps, you know, absolutely mind blowing to see what a guy like that does. And it ultimately is, he's not playing on the bottom rung of the ladder.
No.
You know, he's way up there at the top. And it's actually more fun to play at the upper echelon of the ladder than to, you know, be suffering in the lower version of it.
We've had a lot of conversations about this. And again, when I do my coaching too, I have the conversations of this. But I'd like you to expand on it. Can you tell me the danger of good? Because we've talked about that before. That could be like a dangerous place to, because you're not destroying everything, but you're not really creating anything. So
that's right.
Expand a little bit on that.
Yeah, you know, it's a really, really great thing you bring up. I love the way you're throwing the ball into the air and us catching it and tossing it here. It's almost like if you said to somebody on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? And mm-hmm. it can be anything in your career, your finances, your health, your relationships. And the thing that I cringe about most is when people answer with a 5 or a 6. And here's why. Tony Robbins calls that the danger zone, because mm-hmm. it's not a 1, 2, or 3 where it's so freaking painful that you'll do anything to change. And it's not a 7, 8, or 9 that says, wow, this is great momentum, let's keep going. It's literally a no man's land. It's the danger zone. And that's kind of where I put that word good. Good isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, it's not going to allow you to live the life that you could if you move up from that 5 or 6 into a 6.5, a 7, a 7.5, an 8. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. I wanted to just touch on that too, because that's the danger zone. That could be kind of a little bit of that underdog curse too, because, you know, you've got out of the underdog, so you're not really an underdog anymore. But you also don't want to really get ahead of everyone, because then you might become a victim, or you might get like the haters or somebody who comes after you. Maybe you can give some little tips on, because we talk about people pleasing, and our personality styles, I think, are quite similar, where we are quite sensitive to the people around us and their opinions. That's why it's super important who we hang out with. I wonder if you can give us some tips on like how do you deal with that I call it the intimate circle of people who are around you. And if suddenly you start excelling and they go, oh, are you too good for me? And all that kind of stuff. How do you deal with success?
Yeah. And I know you speak to this in the book, and I love your book. Congratulations again. I think it's a phenomenal resource. And really that intimate connection that we've got is with other people in our family, in our sphere of influence. It could be friends, it could be work colleagues. And it's that old crab in the bucket thing, you know. You start climbing up and crawling out of the bucket to have more wealth or more abundance or a better job or better health, they're right there crawling you or pulling you back down, because number one, they don't want to see you get hurt and fall out of the bucket and hit your head. Number two is they don't want to be alone.
Right.
And there's tremendous certainty that comes along with keeping you in the tribe. That's T-R-I-B-E, keeping you in the family zone, keeping you safe. And so ultimately, you know, if anyone's listening to this and they want to go to another level, you've really got to stand guard at the door of your mind and listen and be aware of when the family, the friends, the brother, the sister, the mom, the dad wants to tell you their opinion, But you've got to remember, it's just that. That's their opinion. And ultimately, that's the lens that they see through. I kind of say it's like, you know, wearing a pair of sunglasses. If you've got on some beautiful, you know, bright blue, you know, lenses, and theirs are green or yellow, that's their MOW. And MOW stands for their model of the world. And they're entitled to their model, but guess what? You're entitled to yours as well. And so you got to make sure that you're putting on the colored glasses that you want to see through if you want to move forward.
That's awesome. Now, if someone, like you just talked about mentorship, right? Because mentorship is a huge thing, because that helps to kind of, you know, get you through some of those trials and tribulations. If someone's out there, you know, and they're like, maybe I should get a coach, but I'm looking for a coach. What are some of the things that you suggest that they look for in finding a coach or a mentor?
Oh, great question, Don. Again, my belief is not all coaches are created equal. Yeah. You know, in fact, that 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, applies to everything. So where 80% of the coaches out there mean well and could probably help you with a few things, you know, there's a distinct 20% that could probably do a little bit more with you. So for anybody that's interested in getting a coach, a teacher, a mentor, or some form of accountability partner, you've really got to do your research. And again, if you come up with only one choice, you have no choice. There's nothing to choose.
Yeah.
Two choices is better, but that's even a dilemma because you got to pick one or the other. My suggestion would be to come up with three different possibilities, because now you've got for yourself what we call options. And we all know that when you've got options, you're able to make better decisions and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any like good questions that someone could ask if they're interviewing a coach?
Yeah, absolutely. The number one thing that I think people forget to look for in a coach is, number one, do they have passion? Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a coach that doesn't have the energy, the drive, the wisdom, the knowledge, you know, to come to these calls or meet you in person and play full out, you know, nothing's worse than getting on the phone with someone who's a drag. Would you agree?
Which I was like, hey, what do you want? Yeah.
The number one is passion. Number two is what I call attitude. You know, if they got the infectious attitude that's going to rub off on you to help you again climb the stairs or climb the ladder to go from where you are to where you want to be. And then the third and, you know, probably the most simplest form is, you know, what's their track record? You know, do they have other clients that they've been able to move forward? Do they have other clients that have real powerful testimonials and not just, yeah, he's a good coach, he really helped me out a lot. It's like, well, you know, how long did you work with them? What was life like before you had that coach?
Yeah.
And what was life like during their time with the coach? And now that you've been able to, you know, have this connection with them, what's life like now and what's possible from that standpoint? Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense, though. That's awesome. Because I know sometimes, again, when you have personalities that are a little bit more the amiable, the quieter personalities, sometimes it's hard to come up with those questions because you know you need somebody, but then you almost feel bad about yourself asking those questions.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's a great point you make. And the world sped up so fast. I mean, when you think of all the things that are coming at us all day long, you know, we'll take you, for example, with your practice and ultimately the book and then speaking engagements and travel with Brandy. Like there's so much going on. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it can be outstanding to have that, you know, friend that you can call, that coach, that teacher, mentor, trainer, accountability guy. If even just to, you know, share and unload stuff and then start to reassemble the pieces that are going to help support you in what's next.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I found that personally, it's always nice to have someone to knock those ideas off. Cause sometimes I know even with you, we had some calls in the past where we go, I need to figure something out. So I just need to start banging stuff off. Like we just bang it off each other. And then even that just talking it through, it's like, sometimes I thought I didn't know the right answer, but as you're banging it off, you actually come up with the right answer when you have someone asking you those cool questions.
Spot on, my man. I love that.
So that's God. So in closing, I was wondering if you would like to impart any wisdom, like, you know, the people who would be out there wanting to listen to this podcast would be usually those people who either are an underdog, like externally feel like they just can't get ahead or they're stuck or haven't even started, or the other people who've just been like plateaued in life because they're in that 5 to 7 zone or 5 to 6 zone where it's that danger zone where it's like, it's okay, but it's not really fulfilling. At the end of my life, I might regret stuff if I look back because I can survive, but I'm not thriving. So just if you have any kind of cool tips, inspiration to share with the listeners.
Yeah, I love that, Don. And I think there's a few things I might share. And number one is, you know, really, you know, get curious. You know, we often say that, you know, curiosity is the number one thing for all of us to really use, because we've been given that brain, that 3-pound mass between our ears, to probe and to ask questions. So I'd say, you know, ask questions like, you know, am I satisfied with where I am now? Or if I were to believe that there was a possibility in moving forward, what might that look like? So really get curious. Number two, find a role model. Find something that inspires you. It could be a Hollywood actor, actress. It could be Oprah Winfrey. It could be Tony Robbins. It could be Steve Jobs. It could be Dr. Don McDonald. It could be somebody that you go, you know what? I want some of what they've got. And then take a look at, you know, how they're showing up. And, you know, because we've all been underdogs. If you think of, you know, your journey, Oprah's journey, you know, Tony Robbins' journey, Steve Jobs' journey, it didn't all happen in a straight line. You know, life gets in the way. And so there's always going to be this ebb and flow of life, and you're either in resistance to it or you're able to get out of that resistance into what we call flow. And flow is no different than the water that flows from the mountains to the ocean. It doesn't ask for permission on where it goes. It just goes where it goes because it's part of nature. And so are we. So don't get too caught up that the ideal outcome looks like X, Y, Z when you can kind of co-create it while you're, you know, taking on the journey.
Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome. I think that's a huge bit of advice, because I know I used to get that too, where you're fighting. You want to be like into the, just like playing basketball. When I used to play basketball, you get into the zone. And I think that's a nice thing to kind of aim towards. And as Jim Rohn always used to say, the price needs to be worth the promise.
Absolutely.
And so it's really cool to help increase that promise for people out there.
Yeah. The other one that Jim Rohn, and again, he was Tony Robbins' mentor. He said, don't wish it were easier, wish you were better. And that's one of my all-time favorite Jim Rohn quotes.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Trevor, thanks very much for being on the call. Hope everybody else there got, you know, a little bit fired up and realized, you know, the price is worth the promise. Like, let's get jacked up here. So I want to thank you, Trevor. Thank you very much for being on the call.
And thank you for having me, and a great job with the podcast. You do an amazing, amazing, amazing job with all of these, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. And everybody out there, we'll see you on the next episode. And don't forget to get out there and crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.